Welcome back, everyone. Today is Tuesday, January the 31st. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have a question for Dr. Shah or a suggestion for a future episode, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can keep this conversation going by supporting the podcast, sharing it online, and leaving us a good review on iTunes. We're going to leave a link in the description of this podcast so you can do just that. But before we do that, Ryan, hit him with the verse of the day.
I would love to, my friend.
I point to you, but I look at the camera.
I would love to, my friend.
It's kind of unsettling.
The verse of the day today comes from, a little jarring, comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Yeah. I mean, I think about God's people over the course of the centuries and all throughout the Bible. You know, they're not cowards. Mm-hmm. God doesn't use cowards. He might use the meek and the lowly, but he doesn't use, as what my mom would call, scary people.
Scary people.
Mm-hmm. See, scary people in the South means, you know, it's not you're not scary, you're afraid.
You're right.
A coward.
So, you are. So he don't you are use able to be scared.
You know, I mean, and God's people have their bad moments, but all in all, they don't shrink away. You know, for what I mean, their faith endures.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they may have moments of fear.
Yeah.
They may have moments of cowardice,
right,
but that does not define who they are.
My wife sent me a question yesterday.
I didn't realize we were segueing out of that yesterday.
My wife sent me a question yesterday that,
okay,
I wanted to bring up to you. And David, if you want to hop in on this as well. Let's say ketchup no longer exists in the world. What do you eat on your fries? Like, what's the perfect fry sauce?
Ooh, that's a good question.
But no ketchup. Ketchup is not an answer.
A1.
Okay. I like A1 on fries.
I'm kind of with David.
Yeah, I like A1. Ranch.
No, ranch on a fry?
Yeah, ranch.
No.
Yeah, that's good.
Ellie loves ranch, dude. Ellie would just fill up the bathtub and take a bath in the stuff and then dip her fries in.
Delicious.
No.
Barbecue sauce? Barbecue sauce
like
and fries
Sweet
is
Baby
good.
Ray's?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's good.
I like that.
I'm with David. I think A1 is the perfect fry sauce, but it's got to be like thick steak fries.
You know, it's really good on, I've had it on Chick-fil-A fries, but I haven't had it beyond Chick-fil-A, I assume it would be good, is the spicy sweet sriracha sauce that they have. Very good.
On whose fry? On Chick-fil-A's?
Chick-fil-A's.
You know what? Heinz 57.
Heinz 57?
Yeah.
That would be good.
Are you in the camera shot?
Yeah.
Good.
Nick's weighing in on this one. I can get behind that. Heinz 57.
Heinz 57 is good for chicken and stuff, but I don't get people who like Heinz 57.
Ooh, if you're at Chick-fil-A and you want good sauce for your fries, it's the honey roasted barbecue.
Yes, that is good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a honey mustard, but it's a little smokier than a honey mustard. Like, mm-hmm, it's got some more bold flavors.
If you're in dire straits, don't hate me. Mayonnaise.
Get out.
I knew you were going to say
get
that.
Out.
My wife is the same.
Get out.
My wife is the same
get
way.
Get out. Throw your microphone away.
I can't stand that.
Unbelievable.
Hot mayonnaise.
No, you just...
And people just want to eat some lard
mix it,
and some
mix
fat
it with
and some oil.
No, mix it with some ketchup. Oh, wait, we don't have ketchup.
We don't have ketchup.
Yeah, never but Ellie mind. Loves mayo chop.
Barf. Just
she loves mayo
real
chop.
Thick mayonnaise globbed on a french fry.
You know what I see girls do all the time? Maybe some guys do it, so I don't want to insult nobody out there. But girls take their french fries and dip it in a milkshake.
That is good. Have
like
you ever done
like
that?
Ryan
it's
Hill.
Delicious.
It's so dairy.
It's so good.
It's so dairy. And it's cold.
It's so dairy.
It's so dairy on a French fry.
It's the salt on the fry in the milkshake.
It's the saltiness of the fry and the sweet milkshake.
I've never done it. I would be willing to do it on the pod.
It is very good.
On the radio.
We'll have to do fries and a milkshake.
Maybe next week we'll bring in fries and a milkshake, and that'll be just like I can just tell like the producers, like, hey, like just bring me fries and a milkshake. We need it as it's a prop.
Right.
But then afterwards I'm like, well, I got fries.
I gotta have it now.
The producers?
Right. Write in and let us know if ketchup doesn't exist, what are you dunking your fries in? 252-582-5028. You looked at me like you were going to say something else.
Because David is still... Were you on the air when you said that?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all go bring me some fries.
I said the producers, and I looked at Nick, and I said that.
By that, we do mean y'all.
I do mean David and Nicholas, yeah.
Yep. So we're going to jump into today's episode in just a second, but if you guys have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, write in and let us know at 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We're going to get Dr. Shah, and we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, my name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today Show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey there, listeners. I'm John Galantis.
And I'm Ellie Galantis.
And we just want to take a quick second and talk to you about Dr. Shah's and Nicole's book, 30 Days to a New Beginning. Daily devotions to help you move forward.
You know, this is actually the second book in the 30 Days series. And the whole point of this devotional is to help us get unstuck from the ruts of life.
You know, when it comes to running the race of life, it matters how you start, but a bad start doesn't ultimately determine how you finish the race. You can have a good finish even with a bad start, and that's where this book comes in.
No matter who you are or where you are in life, you're going to get stuck. Instead of going out and buying some gadget or some planner, like I know I've done several times.
I know that's right.
30 Days encourages you to find your fresh start in God's Word.
Life doesn't have a reset button, but our God is a God who does new things. His mercies are new every day, which means every day is a new chance for you to start over.
You can grab 30 Days to a New Beginning on Amazon.com. We're going to leave a link in the description box below, and if you already have the book, let us know what you think about it.
That's right. Send us a text, 252-582-5028. Share what God has done in your life through this devotional. Hey, maybe we'll even read your story on the air. Ellie, you ready to get back to the show?
Let's do it.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, make sure you let us know by sending us a text at 252-582-5028. Dr. Shah, welcome back to the studio today. Happy Tuesday.
Thank you. I hope you guys are having a great week as well.
Man,
good to be here.
Well, I'm hoping maybe later today we can turn this into a Taco Tuesday.
Oh, tacos never taste better than on Tuesday.
There's something about Taco Tuesday that's just right with the world. Like, it just makes the world.
Have you noticed that there's not any other days of the week like that? Like, you don't have, like, Meatloaf Monday.
Oh, gross.
It's just Taco Tuesday.
You spoiled my appetite. I'm just going to fast today. If you guys are new to the show, you're visiting with us for the first time, we want to welcome you. Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, a professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can follow his work on his website. That's abadanshah.com.
That's right. And on today's episode, we're continuing a conversation that we started yesterday. A lot of times on the show, we'll get like diving deep into a topic and we just really get to the good stuff and then we run out of time.
Yeah, this was not the Tuesday episode. This was not the Tuesday episode we planned, but I think it worked out very well.
Well, we want to continue the conversation because we began it yesterday talking about the relationship between repentance and belief.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent a lot of time talking about repentance and what it is, but we didn't have quite enough time to dive into belief. So I'd love to dive into that today and talk about, you know, the relationship between those two things and how we understand it from a biblical perspective.
I saw the earnestness on your face. Like, I would really love
it.
What if Dr. Shah was like, no.
No. Yeah. I'm like, well, I guess we'll talk about tacos then.
All right, yeah.
Well, when it comes to repentance and belief, just keep in mind that this is the plan of salvation ever since the beginning of time, right, through the Old Testament. Now, when you come to Abraham's life, you may not find a statement that says, and he repented and believed God, mm-hmm. right? It's simply like he believed God and he accounted it unto him for righteousness. Because the repentance part is there, but it's more in the narrative mm-hmm. form, not necessarily in the pronouncement or in the declaration. It's more in the narrative. Now, you have to find it in the story how many times he misunderstood what God was trying to do. And then finally, he gets it. He gets it. He gets it that through him and Sarah is coming the one mm-hmm. who is going to be, you know, savior of the world. in his mind, in what God told him, it's more of a, he'll be the light unto the Gentiles.
Right.
See, God's revelation is sort of progressive. In time, he spoke to different people in different ways. Imagine if he had spoken to, you know, Adam and Eve or Cain and Abel the way Paul wrote the book of Romans.
Hmm.
You know,
great point.
I mean, all the truths are there,
yeah,
but they are at a level that Adam and Eve are not ready to understand. Not that they couldn't understand, they were brilliant,
mm-hmm.
but not much had happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So also Abraham and Sarah, you know, Paul did, God didn't speak to them the way he's spoke through Paul in Ephesians chapter 2.
Right.
So a lot of times you have to kind of go back and see in the narration where you see the repentance part of things.
Yeah, that's why I like having a biblical scholar like you on the show, because context is everything. Like with the more time that passes through history, the more context even we have today, mm-hmm. like we can look backwards in time and see things that happened, and we can talk because that stuff happened and everybody knows they happened. We can make references or we can talk about things that people understand that context.
Right, yeah. Right. Like and look in the Psalms, look at David's life. There is repentance and belief.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the prophets. Mm-hmm. And what they exhorted people to do was repent and believe. But when you get into the New Testament, it is clear. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is what you do. But it's not out of thin air. This was not something that was conjured up, you know, like, okay, guys, we need to get this plan of salvation straight. So what do we decide? No, this was always there. Now it's becoming clearer and clearer.
Right.
And so those are the two sides of the same coin. And just like repentance in the Greek, metanoia, we talked about that last weekend, you know, it's a change of mind. You know, let's leave aside the aspect of, you know, sorrow or remorse or, you know, shame or guilt and all that. You know, all those things can be wonderful, but that's not the heart of repentance. Repentance is a change of mind about three things: sin, self, and Savior. Go back and look at the Old Testament. Same thing. Abraham had to have a change of mind. It took him some time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, when he gets it, he gets it. He gets it so well that he did something that none of us would be willing to do. Take your son, your only son, and go sacrifice him.
Wow. Mm.
He was not struggling. No, yeah, of course, in a way he was struggling. But if you read what Hebrews says about that, the commentary of Paul on that whole, you know, episode,
mm-hmm.
he's like, I've already received my son back.
Mm.
By faith, he already received his son back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's because he has already received Christ as his Savior and King, although he doesn't know his name as Christ and all that. So, sin, self, and Savior, there's a change of mind. But when it comes to belief, again, the word is important. In the Greek, the word is pisteuon. In John's gospel, is the active verb pisteuon, which is found about 96 times.
Wow. Used a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, it is found in the epistles as a noun, pistis, and the meaning of both the verb form and the noun form are a lot stronger than our English word belief or believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we say belief or believe in our everyday conversation, it's like, I believe it's going to rain today.
Mm-hmm.
What comes to your mind?
Yeah, just...
Like, I think it possibly will.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'm not really sure. Almost kind of the opposite of, I think, what Paul is trying to, to communicate.
Maybe you may even say a strong possibility, mm-hmm. right? But when we use the word pisteuon or pistis, in the Greek, it has the idea of trust. And again, once again, the English doesn't really communicate the full meaning of trust that the Greek pisteuon and pistis has. So in Greek, in English, we can say something like, I'm trusting in this life jacket to mm-hmm. hold me up, or this safety harness to hold me up. Okay. It's a little more than belief. But again,
there's still some doubt.
There's still, I trust this holds me up.
Yeah.
well, there's that little inkling that, you know, of a chance.
Yeah,
that,
like, it might not. It's not it's not complete knowledge yet.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how languages work, where, like, you have these two seemingly contradictory ideas, like, I have this strongly deep-rooted belief that's a rock-solid trust. And also, I believe this may happen, but it really may not. I'm kind of up in the air. It's two contradictory ideas represented by the same word.
Oh, that's something that's so fascinating to me, and I love that you bring that up in your messages, Dr. Shah, about how words they're not exact translations. Like, we have this means this in English, and this is how you translate it in Greek, or this is the original word in Greek, and this is our English equivalent of it. But it's not a one-to-one translation. Like, this is our best interpretation of the meaning of this word. Mm-hmm. But there's, like, I mean, like the phrase goes, there's some things that are just lost in translation. There's some meaning that's just not accurately conveyed.
That's right. And so we have to, you know, think through that and work through it. Like, for example, Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 17. Can I read that?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so this is what we were just talking about. I went and found it. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Concluding means he based on his faith, the word is piste, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Coming from that same family of words, by faith Abraham. So he concluded based on that faith that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. I preached on this, you know, about a month ago, mm-hmm. in our Man of Promise series. Mm-hmm. So I hope that makes sense. He already concluded, I got my son back. So do you see, it's much more than our belief or even our trust. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's that knowledge, that certainty, the assurance. Like you said, he concluded in his mind. Sort of the same thing you were talking about repentance,
right,
where it's a change of mind. It's a change of thinking. And that belief kind of comes in too, where it's like, I've made up my mind. You were telling me about this when we started working out. You know, if you make up your mind, you will 9 times out of 10 get that weight up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a mental thing where it's like, okay, I've decided I'm not floundering back and forth anymore.
That all the time, by the way. Mm-hmm. Only when it comes to God, we are not quite sure.
Yeah.
We do that all the time. For example, think about when you get in the car and drive, and you drive through, you know, crossroads, you know, like intersections. Mm-hmm. I mean, what assurance do you have that people coming down the side will stop?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Ultimately, none. You hope that they obey the traffic laws, but
yeah, you get in a plane and you travel. Mm-hmm. What assurance do you have that the pilot up front is really capable,
right,
to fly the plane and land it? Mm-hmm. I mean,
you don't.
You don't. But once you get in, you sit down, relax. You know, you're watching movies or eating food or sleeping or talking or laughing. But how are you? Sure, you're up in a little tube, flying through the sky, actually falling through the sky.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, at some point you just make your mind up, and you go with it.
Yeah,
it's funny how much of belief and how much of Christianity and faith takes place in the mind.
Yeah.
We always think it's the spiritual, and it is. We always think it's this spiritual, ethereal thing, but really, it's a lot of it is in the mind.
It's a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, belief is kind of a decision that you're making.
Yeah,
and you know, and I'll say this now, but hopefully we'll kind of unpack it later, or maybe in another episode. You know, only those who will push through will find eternal life. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, and it doesn't mean like the salvation is dependent on you. But all I'm saying is, pushing through is part of the Christian life.
Yeah,
is the way. You know, the broad is the way, narrow is the way. Mm-hmm. Those who are on the narrow road are the ones who will reach eternal life. Mm-hmm. It's already settled, okay? We're not talking about, you know, doubting your salvation. Am I going to make it? Am I pushing far enough? No, I'm not making anything dependent on the human being.
Right.
Okay? I hope everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is the mindset with which you approach every single moment of your life is a mindset of pushing forward.
Yeah.
It's a mindset of a go-getter in the Christian life. Again, you know, you're not the go-getter. You're simply, can I say, go-getting God?
Right. Because if you don't have that confident mindset that Jesus can remove sin and that Jesus can save you, then
and what has
do you
saved you.
And has saved you, then what do you have? Are you a, do you have salvation with a little bit of doubt sprinkled in from time to time, and that's okay for some reason?
You're just walking through a maze hoping you, when you get to the end, that the end you're, oh, great, I came out.
Right.
That's not Christianity.
Right.
Yeah.
Pushing through is like, you know that way. You have the map. You have the GPS. Every turn you're making is going to lead you out of that maze.
Mm-hmm.
But you're pushing through. And that's part of, I believe, is what we're talking about here as the meaning of belief.
Yeah.
What are some things that may cause a person to either struggle with or lose sight of that belief?
Hmm. In my opinion, again, I'm not readily running to scriptures to find support. In my opinion, it's a lack of scripture.
Mm.
You know, when you start getting your eyes off of the word of God and start placing it on yourself or your ideas or your opinions or other people's ideas, opinions, when you start living by your emotions or your feelings. Now, feelings are important. They're very important. Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Mm-hmm. So the heart, I would say, is the feeling side of you. But if you're living by those things and they become more prominent in your life and you just like, well, heck with that, I'm just going to go with the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can do that, but you're going to have a very difficult time truly walking in with confidence and assurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say not trusting yourself, you know, enough of yourself, and just know whom you have believed and know that he can raise you up on the last day.
Yeah.
Amen.
When we talk about repentance and belief, I like the point you made yesterday is that we do repent, but in a lot of ways, it's the Holy Spirit working and acting in us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a work of the Holy Spirit that manifests itself in us. Whereas with belief, this is where we get to respond, you know, with our belief to what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is our, because I think a lot of people make it to where, like, kind of like you clarified earlier, people think if I input anything at all, then it's heresy.
Right.
But that's not how God has designed us.
Yeah. Even that is the Holy Spirit is helping you there.
Right.
I mean, so it's all him anyways.
Right.
But the mindset with which you're pressing forward is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
at the end of this message, you broke down what the gospel is in such a profound way. I haven't ever heard anybody else put it this way. And I think it is unique and wonderful. And it's so clear. Can you talk about that for a little bit? There's two things that the gospel is ultimately.
Right. Right. So when it comes to the gospel, there is a declaration and then there is the demand.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. So this is just our way of fleshing it out, I guess you can say. So, you know, if you tell me, give me that one passage where all this is laid out, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't one. And if there is one, there's always another one, which seems sort of, you know, highlighting some other aspects of this gospel presentation. But when you take the whole scripture into account in its context, you begin to see these two things come to the forefront. There's a declaration and then there's a demand.
Mm-hmm.
Declaration is this: Jesus brought God's kingdom into the world. He is Christ, God's anointed king.
Mm-hmm.
He died on the cross for our sins according to scriptures. He was buried but rose again on the third day according to scriptures and was seen by many.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is the gospel in a nutshell. But the gospel demands a response.
Mm-hmm.
What is the response? I would say, repent, believe, and follow.
Mm.
Okay? Repent is a change of thinking about sin, self, and Savior. We covered this last weekend, or last show, and we also covered this a little bit in the beginning of this today's show.
Mm-hmm.
Believe is trust that Jesus is God's son who has paid the penalty of our sins and he can remove the guilt of sin and give eternal life. Trust him. So just the way we just discussed, you know, that passionate pushing forward decision that he is the one and he's got this and I'm trusting him. And come doubt, come problems, come situations. If I sink, I sink trusting him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sink.
Right.
Follow. Now, some people may say, well, follow, that's just sanctification. Yes, of course, I understand that. But all I'm saying is a decision to follow.
Right.
Jesus as our king, we are to obey and follow him no matter the cost. Without this element, the gospel is not the true gospel. first the decision and then one day the test, mm-hmm. you know. So repent, believe, and follow is part of the demand.
Yeah. Mm. And that's something that's helped me, you know, as a worship leader here at Clearview, thinking of the gospel in these two ways. You told me something years ago. I think I started here at like 21. And I think within that first or second year.
No, just clarify, when you were 21.
When I was 21. You told me something that sort of went along this line where the gospel is broken up into declaration and demand. Mm-hmm. And you told me that it's not your job to lead people to God. God is already working and moving in people's lives. You are giving people a chance to respond to what God has already done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God is the one who's doing the moving and the working and the shaking and the revitalizing in people's lives. Mm-hmm. Your job, and if you're listening to this, if you're a person who leads worship as well, your job is to give people that chance to respond because right. the demand is there.
Right.
Right.
And the gospel, just for those who may be wondering, where did you get the gospel part? 1 Corinthians 15. And now I can go other places too. I can go in the Old Testament and find the same thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Albeit, it's not going to be laid out the way Paul lays it out here. I can go through the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John is there. I can go through other Paul's epistles. It's there. I can go through Peter's and John's epistles, and they're there too. And I can go to the book of James, you know, what Martin Luther called the straw epistle. I disagree with him. Is there too. So here's a gospel, but I believe here you find it as succinct and as direct and clear as possible. He says, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you. Now, some people, when they take it out of context, they go, well, I mean, what if you don't hold fast? Mm-hmm. That's not what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's talking about that go-getter mindset when it comes to your decision, right? Did you get that? It's mm-hmm. not like, oh, if you don't hold, then this happens. No, not in the context. I mean, the entire book is written to believers who are sinning.
Right.
What he's telling them is stop fooling around, stop doing the things you're doing and criticizing me and all this stuff, but have this sense of moving forward, hold fast and go forward unless you believed in vain. Mm-hmm. Right? And then what is the gospel? Here it is. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, on and on. So there you go. There's the gospel. Now the demand, repent, believe, and follow.
Wow. That's awesome.
I love that. I hope that clarifies things for you guys as well. If you have questions about that or you have suggestions for future episodes, make sure you let us know by sending us a text 252-582-5028. And speaking of that, this Clearview Today Show family, we had some, one of our listeners write in and just ask us to spend some time in prayer. And she just asked that we would. So Dr. Shaw, if you'd lead us in prayer, and if you guys will pray along from wherever yes, you're listening.
Absolutely. Father, we come before you today, and God, we thank you for the privilege of calling you our Heavenly Father. And through Jesus Christ, he has made the way for us to boldly come to the throne of grace, to come before you and ask for what we need. And today, God, we're praying for this person who is having health concerns and waiting. It's a very difficult time in her life, in her family's life. And overall, everything seems fine, but she herself knows that, you know, there are some concerns. So I just pray, God, number one, for your healing to be upon her. God, we believe that you heal. Sometimes we see times that you choose not to heal, and we assume that every time we are to live with that uncertainty, and that is not true. You have healed us so many, many more times than when you don't heal in this life. So God, we pray for healing. Mm-hmm. We pray for comfort. We pray for peace. We pray for assurance. And we pray more than anything that your will would be done. We pray, God, that you would work all things together for good in this family and help this family to walk forward knowing that you are working.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Shaw. We want to encourage you guys, if we can pray for you here on the Clearview Today Show, please let us know by sending us a text to that number, 252-582-5028. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.